He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
June 2017, everyone out there, this is SNU Land, He Said, She Said. Welcome. And we are here to get into things that matter. Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm ready to motivate, educate, and stimulate.
That's what we do. Ultimate goal, C-H-I, right?
That's right. Chi.
Yeah. Chi, hey, right? Man. The chi, yeah. The energy that flows.
All right, already. We know
okay.
that.
Okay, so I'm really excited because I got a hammer workout coming up. And I just talked to Michael Colgan, which, you know, always gets me going. Talk about stimulation, motivation, and education. What's cooking? What's cooking, my dear?
What's cooking is fresh papaya. Yeah, I know I've talked about this before, but I bring it back every now and then because I get into it. And it's what I've got on the table these days. That summer's coming. Well, maybe where we live, summer's coming. And so fresh papaya is always very refreshing. Now, you can eat it on its own, add a little lemon to it, and you can add it to salads, chop it up. You can serve it as a dressing on a salad. You can put it on proteins. You can make a delicious salsa out of it. It's a totally versatile and refreshing piece of fruit. And if you've never tried papaya, I suggest that you do. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was a papaya seed dressing. And the reason that I got into this is because my girlfriend and her husband are trying all of our recipes now. And I said, have you tried the papaya seed dressing? And she says, no, because they want to get more into a healthy lifestyle. I said, so this is the dressing that you need if you really want to get into eating salads, if you're not into salads. So if you've got a problem with your family not eating raw vegetables or salads, this is the answer, is the papaya seed dressing. Every time I serve it, it is just the biggest hit. And those who don't like salad, I tell you, they always want more. And that was always the key to me and eating salads. I never liked to eat salads when I was younger because I didn't like the dressing. It was store-bought dressing and I didn't like it. So I never ate salad. I didn't know any different until I met Corey Holly, and it changed my life. You just love it when I say that, don't you?
Keep stroking me, baby.
Okay, so you can use the papaya seed dressing as a vegetable dip, even as a marinade for meat, fish, or chicken. It is absolutely delicious. And you can use it instead of a mayonnaise for pita breads and sandwiches, if you're into that kind of thing, pita breads and sandwiches. So it's a vital component of good nutrition. It's extremely therapeutic and beneficial for optimum health and performance. The dressing also acts as a digestive enzyme in the body and helps ward off disease in the body, and it lubricates the joints in the body, and it also satisfies the soul in the body. So it works as a digestive enzyme because it has papain, which papaya has. So it's really a wonderful way to get digestive enzymes into the body is through the papaya. So there's two types of papaya, Hawaiian and Mexican. The Hawaiian varieties are the most commonly found in the supermarkets. However, the Mexican ones are coming up to our part of the world these days. They're a pear-shaped fruit, generally about a pound in weight, and they have like a yellowish tinge to them. The flesh could be bright orange or pinkish, and they have those little black seeds in them, and they're clustered. And what you can do is cut the papaya in half and then scoop out those seeds if you want to eat it on its own. However, those papaya seeds are very beneficial for health, and they have a peppery taste to them. So now getting into this papaya seed dressing, you know, I'm not sure if this dressing is on the website, Corey. I'm not sure if it is or not. Anyway, I will add it. But you can always email me if you want the actual recipe. I'm just going to go through it really quickly. So what I do in a blender, this makes about approximately 4 cups. I add a cup of extra virgin olive oil. Now, you can also use flaxseed oil or hemp seed oil. About a half a cup of freshly squeezed lemon juice. Now, you can also add apple cider vinegar instead. But you'd want to use maybe a quarter of a cup, not a half a cup. 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, 2 tablespoons of unpasteurized honey, 3 to 6 cloves of raw garlic or more if you like, 1 small sweet onion, ooh, and 1/2 of the large papaya meat. If it's just a small papaya, use the whole meat of the papaya, and about 2 tablespoons of the papaya seeds and some salt and pepper, and just blend it and blend it and blend it and blend it till it's really smooth and creamy. As usual, if you like it tartar, add the more lemon juice. If you like it oilier, add more oil, and just keep blending it. And then you have this beautiful dressing. Now, I would store this in a jar or a Tupperware dish that's tight lid to it, and you can store it up for a week. And there you have it. It's absolutely scrumptious. If you do put it in the refrigerator before you actually serve it, I would leave it outside the refrigerator just for about a half an hour, just so that it can soften up a little bit. But you love this too, don't you? The papaya seed dressing?
Yes, I got a question for you.
Yes?
Can a vegan eat papaya meat?
Hardy har har. Oh, you're on top of your game today, I see. How we got into this, do you remember? We were living in Hawaii, and our landlords had a papaya farm, or whatever you want to call it, and they couldn't sell the off-sized, the not perfect papayas. So they would give us boxes and boxes of papaya, which we were glad to have, and they were fine for us. So I was making papaya seed dressing, papaya crumbles, papaya salsa. Everything had papaya in it. Put it in our shakes. And that's how I got to make this dressing. So we were very fortunate for those odd-shaped papayas, because we got into papaya. Right? Remember that?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's one of my specialty food items. It's one of my superfoods, you know, like with garlic or with lemons. Papaya is right up there, like with kale. It's just one of those sensational foods that is so versatile. It fits in with almost any kind of diet or food. It's non-allergenic. It has a digestive component. It's soft and gentle. So this is stuff that you can feed the babies when you mush it up, right?
Well, absolutely. And it's funny how a lot of adults have never tried it before. So it's really nice to introduce them, which we have done when we have people for dinner. We introduce them to a lot of different fruits and vegetables. So that's kind of cool. Yes, and absolutely, it's wonderful for children, especially in the sun. It's very hydrating for them. So, and for adults, for everybody. So get on it, man. Get on the papaya.
Right on, right on, right on. Who was our last month's special guest interview?
Last month's special guest interview was Helen Saul Case. Helen Saul Case is the author of The Vitamin Cure for Women's Health Problems, Vitamins and Pregnancy, The Real Story, Orthomolecular Nutrition for Everyone, and the co-author of Vegetable Juicing for Everyone. She also is featured in the 2016 documentary called That Vitamin Movie. And if you want more information about Helen's bio, full bio, then check our website. Cripes, I tell you, I love this woman. She's so confident, and she says it with conviction. She's my kind of gal. She's into education, not medication. And she says you don't need a doctor to get well, which I love that. An MD, actually, is what she said. So what do you think, Corey?
Yeah, she reminds me of you maybe 20 years ago. You know, you're still...
What?
She's 20 years younger than you. But she reminds me of you, like that confidence, that conviction, that clarity when it comes to living the good life. And we both know what that means. You know, like the exercise, the movement, the sport, the vitamin supplements. That's a big iffy one for a lot of people. They get the exercise and sport. They get the natural foods and the clean foods. But when it comes to vitamin supplements, for some people, that's still really a big if. And you don't have that if, and neither do I, and we don't care if people do. We are going to lather ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day when I was lathering up my face, getting ready to shave. That, to me, is an analogy of using vitamins. I'm going to lather my body up with these vitamin supplements, these antioxidants, these botanicals, these homeopathic, and just keep taking them till the day I die. How about you?
Well, side note is the reason that you lather up and shave is for me. Otherwise, you'd have some wonky looking mustache and beard, which I don't like. So thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for lathering up, dear. Yes, and getting the right amount of vitamins for everybody, you know, is really important. So one person may not need as much as one particular supplement as another person. So it's really important to get the right amounts. And it's also through trial and error, right? So there you go. So nutritional foods, supplements, they're very, very safe. The worst thing that can happen is you poop it out or get diarrhea. Oh my God, it's the end of the world. She really believes in Dr. Hoffer, his work, which you also know Dr. Hoffer personally. And Dr. Hoffer would say that drugs make a well person sick. So how can you make a sick person well? I thought that was kind of cool. And she says it takes responsibility to get well. So if you're on the road to getting well, then you have to take responsibility. You have to be your own doctor. You've got to research. You've got to be your own detective. You've got to get out there and find the right people to tell you the right information, because you're going to hear different things. And maybe you might try those different things, but find out what works for you, right?
Yeah, and then keep the science in mind too, which is what, you know, the CSNA is all about, studying the science. You know, a lot of people, a lot of students in particular, tell me that when we have the student progress check after module 5 or after module 10 is complete, I ask them, you know, what did you get? What's the thing that stood out the most? And for a lot of them, it was taking the dietary supplements or the significance of creatine or how to add glutamine and ribose or whey protein isolate to a shake so that you can literally, logically, reliably put energy into the cell. Just directly put it into the cell and then you get more energy. It makes so much sense. And that's good. I like that when people get the point, they get connected and they see the light and they start moving forward with a passion for better health.
Well, she says her health laws start with health first, family, then work. So she's about, like we are, you've got to take care of yourself first. You've got to get healthy and well first and be filled up with good health so that you can help other people. And then your family and then your work. So in that order, spend your money on feeling good, she says. Now, that doesn't mean drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and all that kind of thing. That's not what she means. She means go ahead and buy those expensive vitamins and go ahead and do those, get the diagnostic tools that it takes to get well. Do what you need to get well and feel good. So I like that philosophy that she has, right? And also balance. Get super well and healthy, feed your kids right, and then it's not a big deal you go out for ice cream, right? But again, what you need to do is don't let your treats become your staples. That's a big one. Because once you start eating the ice cream and the cookies, then all of a sudden it gets to be an everyday thing. And when it becomes an everyday thing, then that becomes a staple. So we really have to be careful about that, especially right now when it's getting summertime and the kids are eating sugary popsicles and ice creams and cookies and hot dogs and all that crappy stuff. They're having it every single day. So we really have to be aware of what our kids are eating during the day, and they might be getting too much sun, you know, so we really have to feed them well so they don't get sick. Because when they get sick, how can we enjoy ourselves, right? As family and parents. Anyway, I just want to say that she's totally into vitamin C. That's her number one, as it is our number one as well. And also Epsom salt baths, which are fantastic. You can buy Epsom salts in bulk. It's not expensive. So get out there, go and buy some Epsom salts and soak in a bath. And if you don't even want to soak in a bath, I come home after dancing and my feet really hurt wearing the shoes. So I get in the sink and I put Epsom salts in my sink and put really hot water, and it makes my feet feel better so I can sleep better at night. So, you know, very simple, cost effective. Put it in the kids' bath as well, the Epsom salts. That's a good way to get your magnesium. And just want to say thank you very much to Helen for giving us a super fantastic SNU.
Right on. And remember that when you're soaking in the tub with the Epsom salts, drawing all those toxins out, that means you can go party when you're all done and put them back in.
That's right. Exactly.
Because that ultimately is our secret formula to success. Party on, Garth.
That's right.
Okay, so what's your hot topic?
My hot topic is, what don't you get? And what I mean by that is, I mean, you've got going through situations in life. I hear lots of different situations that people are into, and then they just continue to do the same thing again. And I'm like, what don't you get here? What is it? For example, two different situations here where these good friends of mine got bit by their cat. And these cats, they know, they've told me, I've been to their home, they've told me that the cat is a miserable cat, stay away from the cat, it's a horrible cat. and the cat bites them. They both end up in emergency. They both end up on IV. They both have to get tetanus shots. They both have to take massive amounts for a week of antibiotics and miss work because of the cat bite. Because apparently cat and dog's bites have a lot of bacteria in their mouths. So it's quite serious. But they still keep the cat after all of that. And I'm like, what don't you get? What don't you get about this? If I bring my kids around, that cat is vicious, right? What don't you get about that? This is just one scenario I'm talking about. There's a lot of different scenarios in life that people tell me about, but they continue to do the same thing and put themselves in harm's way. I don't get that they don't get it. So what do you get out of this, Corey?
Well, I get it. It's pretty straight up. Cats and dogs in our society here in North America, not on the other side of the world, and certainly not for the majority of humans. We have over 7 billion now. Cats and dogs are supreme beings. They are more important to some people than humans, even children. And so no matter what the animal does, they will defend them, they will protect them, instead of doing what's obvious to other people. Now, those same people will eat cows and chickens. They'll eat other kinds of animals. Like, we know absolutely, if you want to check with biology, check on pigs, are smarter than dogs and cats. They're more intelligent, they have emotions, they're on a higher scale, and yet we wouldn't hesitate at eating bacon. But how many people will eat a cat and dog at the extreme? So in relation to this discussion, I think that it's an absurd relationship, not with the cat and dog, but with yourself in your head. It's kind of like a form of psychopathy where people have lost track of the value of themselves, because these people I see will sacrifice themselves, their own health, their own life. Literally, they'll sacrifice themselves for a cat or a dog. And I can't relate to that. I observe it, I see it, but it makes no sense to me. Maybe that's just part of the madness that's going on in our culture.
Well, you know, that's exactly, I was going to say when you first started off, I'm saying, is it deeper than that just because they love the cat? Is it the fact that they're very insecure and they need the love? Is that really what it boils down to? You know, this is like a weapon. I mean, I wouldn't want to bring my grandkids around that cat, you know, or dog or whatever it is. You know what I mean? I mean, this is a weapon. I mean, it's very dangerous. So I don't know what the answer is, but I certainly wouldn't tolerate that. Also, we watched a really great, What About Wheat? People just have no idea what they're going to eat after bread. What do I eat if I can't eat breads, buns, bagels, pasta, and cereal? What do I eat? What's left in life? My life is over if I can't eat grains, which I think is interesting. I guess I went through that 20 years ago. We don't eat grains anymore. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a very slow process though, but we're so used to eating grains at every single meal that it's part of our lifestyle to have grains. And without bread, what do? What do you eat? Protein and salad, people, right? There's a multitude of foods to eat.
Well, this is a Netflix winner and it's very informative. And a lot of the guests featured in the documentary, we have interviewed and know personally. So it was great to hear their insight. One of the things that stood out to me that made so much sense is this connection with not drinking raw milk. We talked about this. Raw milk is fermented and it changes the story that unfolds in your gut with bread and flour. So people are consuming bread to the point where it's insane every single meal, every single day. And milk's homogenized now. It's basically sterile and dead. So that might be a possible link between why the gluten and the alpha-gliadin and the chemicals in the flour are causing problems. You know, they go into the history of wheat and flour and the chemistry and the genetics and how it's all changed. And it's a commercial item made for profit, not for health. But people say bread's not addictive. And then this other dude says, oh, yeah? Well, let's just see you delete it out of your diet and let's watch what happens. And there's the reality. Watch people go insane and crazy and start craving bread like there's no tomorrow when they make an attempt not to eat it.
Absolutely. I think that was a real light bulb about the raw milk. Because people say, well, they've been eating it forever, you know, grains and breads and all that. But then there was the raw milk. They were living on the farm and making their own bread, right? But that's a fantastic Netflix. It's called
What About Wheat?
What About Wheat? Absolutely. So if you get a chance, watch that. So that's my hot topic. What don't you get?
Right. And there is life after bread, as you and I are both experiencing. And we have fond memories of our relationships with bread. But bread is dead. It's died. We cremated it. And so now we move on. And that's part of being human. So with that in mind, what's your final word?
My final word is by Confucius. Confucius say, he who learns but does not think is lost. He who thinks but does not learn is in great danger.